Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad tonight that your hope of salvation is based upon a hope in reality? It's not based upon the uncertain hope that the world has to offer with an uncertain and unexpected end. But we serve a God tonight that affords us the opportunity to have an expected end. Our hope and salvation is based on something sure. Based on something that we can count on. And I thank the Lord for that tonight. The scripture says that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Brother Gordon said this morning that he always felt small up here. I want to let you know this evening that that's the way I feel. And I need your help. I need your prayers. I ask for your attention. I have a message that I feel very strongly that the Lord would have me to give. Do you know when there is a group of folks that have a dangerous mission that they're about to go on, and they are all depending very strongly on each other for their safety and for the success of the mission, it means something to all members of the party when they look around in each other's eyes and they say, "Are you in?" And they say, "We're in. You can count on me." The Lord is looking for us to be in. The Lord is looking for us to be in 100%. He's looking for dependable servants of God. He's not looking for us to be partway in, sometimes in, trying to figure out what we can get by with and still be saved. I fear that people that do that are still trying to be saved by works. We can't get in by our works. The Lord paid the price for us. We only get in by grace. But you know how we get in? What we do, what our part is? We have to be in 100%. We have to be all in. We have to give it our all. Peter said in 1 Peter, I believe it's 2 and 9, he said, "But ye are what? Any old people? Anybody that wants to come? Half-hearted folks? You are chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That ye should what? Show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into this marvelous light." I want to be part of that people. I want to be part of that select group of people by the grace of God. I was thinking of have thought a lot about the story of Gideon and the battle that the Lord had already won for them. He had already gone ahead of them. And he had a great victory for him. But did he let everybody go fight that battle? Do you remember what happened? Do you remember how many people he had to start with? I believe it was 32,000 people. And he went out there and the Lord said, "Gideon, I can't receive the kind of glory that I'm looking for with this group of people. You need to give them the option. If they want to go home, let them go home." And there was a separation that took place. Gideon went to him and he said, "Y'all, if you don't want to fight, if you want to go home, now's your time. You go on home." And 22,000 people went home. And I want to insert this here. When they had the opportunity to opt out, they opted out. It's sad. And I want to encourage the young folks. This isn't my message, but I want to encourage you with this. Sometimes you may feel at home with parents that are trying to raise you in a godly and righteous manner. You may feel like that you've been kind of pulled into the battle and you don't have a lot of choice. But let me tell you and encourage you with this. When you are given the opportunity to opt out, don't opt out. The Lord has a victory for you. He has an expected end that He wants you to enjoy, that He wants you, He has land He wants you to possess. Don't opt out. But unfortunately, 20,000 of them went away. But you know the Lord wasn't done. He said, all right, everybody else that went said, I'll go fight. We'll go be part of it. We won't go home. And the Lord said, there's still something here that does not bring the glory to me that I want. And so He told them, He said, go down and have them drink at the river. Yes. Nothing wrong with drinking water, is there? Did anybody sin? Were they doing anything they shouldn't have done? Water, there was no sin in that. And yet there were some that they let down their guard. Yes. They, the water became the most important thing to them at that point. Yes. They set their, they took the vision, they took their guard, and they set it to the side because right now we want to drink water. This is what's important to me right now. That's right. Well, we'll come back to the fight here pretty soon, but right now this is what interests me. And the Lord said, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, someone that's set apart, someone, I want a people that's all in, all the time, 100% of the time. Do you want to be part of that people? I want to be part of that people. I want to be part of the 300 that was able to go and enjoy the victory that was already won for them. They just had to go in the fear of the Lord. They just had to give their heart to it. That's what I want to do. Be encouraged to do that. And that brings me tonight to perhaps one of the most poignant questions of the hour, and that is, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Lord, what must Rod Smith do to be saved? What do you want me to do personally? And we find the young rich man in the 19th chapter of Matthew and the 16th verse. It said that, behold, one came and said unto him, and there's another account in Mark, and it said he came running. He was interested in knowing. And I feel sorry for this man. I admired so much about him. He came running to the master and he said, Master, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? What do you want me to do? And Jesus said, well, why do you call me good? He said, there's none good but God. But if you'll enter into life, he said, keep my commandments. And the Lord stopped. And the man could have gone home. And he could have said, well, I guess I'm doing all right. But you know, he knew that there was more than that. There was more to it than a base set of commandments. He knew it, and the Lord knew it. And the man went a little farther. And he said, well, because he wanted to be saved. It was part of him. And he said, well, which ones? Well, which commandments? Give me some specifics. And Jesus said, well, you know, don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and honor your mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. And the man had another opportunity. He could have said, well, thank you, Master. I appreciate that. And went home and tried to fool himself for a while again and feel justified. Because he was doing all of those things. But he didn't. Because he knew there was still, he was trying to find out, Lord, how do I be part of the 300? Yes. It's more than just I'll go.
Yes, that's right.
It's more than just I'll be a Christian. He wanted to know, what do I really have to do? How do I be part of the 300? And the Lord then got down to business. Yes. We each one have to get to the place where we say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? What do you want me to do? And the Lord said, if you want. In fact, he said, if thou wilt be perfect, thou wilt be perfect. Go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. That's when the story began to get sad. Because then the man decided, oh, I thought I was in. I wanted to be in. I was living a good moral life. I was following convictions that I knew were right. But that's too much. And it said he went away. It said he went away and he was sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Do you have anything that you hold dear to your heart tonight? Things of this world that you know are going to pass away? Do you have anything that you don't want to quite let go of? Oh, I want to encourage you tonight. Be willing to let go. Be willing to let go and let God give you the land that He has for you to possess. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, Hebrews 6 and 1, Paul said, or I don't know if it was Paul, might have been Paul. He said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us what? Let us go on into perfection. That was the message to him. Do you want to be part of the 300? Do you want to have eternal life? Do you really want to sign on and be one to give God 100%? That's what he's saying here. It's time to move on. It's time to move up. It's time to lay those things down. It's time that when you come to the water and you say, well, there's nothing wrong with the water. It's time to say, well, there might not be anything wrong with water. There may not be sin in water, but I'm not going to let it hinder me in my battle for the Lord. I'm willing to sacrifice those things that may just be a weight to me. I'm willing to sacrifice what I would want to make sure that the glory of God is revealed. Let's be encouraged to go on into perfection. Where are we not perfect this morning, this evening? My guess is that my wife, my children, potentially my brother, they might have a long list of places for me that I'm not perfect. But I'm encouraged with this. The Lord is calling us and He's encouraging us. And He's saying, get up. He's saying, arise. Lay down the weight. Move forward. Strive for perfection. In other words, be willing to give all for the Lord. Is that where you are tonight? Did you know that that's where we have to be if you want to gain eternal life? It's going to take more than, well, I think this is okay. Well, I'm following the commandments. I'm living a pretty good life. Do you want to grow? Do you want to grow? Or are you satisfied with where you currently are? We cannot stay in the same place with God. You can't stay. I read something one time that said, you may be on the right track, but if you're sitting still, you'll get run over. There is a time to be at a certain place on the right track. And then there's a time to move on. And the Lord wants us to grow. There is a current of the world that pulls us to not do what's right. It was said earlier, well, people say, well, I want my own convictions. I have my own personal convictions. But did you know that those own personal convictions, we all want personal convictions. But except the Lord build the house, except the Lord come in and give you convictions, all of us are going to have convictions, and they naturally are going to move in the wrong direction. They'll take us down a road and get us caught up in a current that is completely diametrically opposed to what God wants for us. And yet somehow we think that we're unique. We have some personal convictions on this. You're not unique. Those are convictions that are common on the Broadway, where the gate's wide, where everybody goes. They all have those convictions. They're convictions to allow you to cater to the flesh. They're convictions that, well, I like this water. I mean, it tastes good to me, and nothing's wrong with it. There's no scripture you can tell me that's wrong with it. Nothing's wrong with this. That right there, the warning lights ought to be going off. If we spend our time trying to figure out why this ought to be okay, why I ought to be able to get by with this, oh, folks, you might be part of the 9,700. You're willing to go. You're willing to be a Christian. You're willing to appoint, but you're not willing to completely lay it down and say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for Thee. It takes no resistance on our part to go with the current of the world. None. And that's where your personal convictions without the Lord will carry you every time. And with the Lord, when He brings us along, we can't get to the point where we say, well, Lord, I'm satisfied now where I'm at. Been around the church a long time. Been around the saints. Know pretty much what the truth is. I'm satisfied with this. The way of the Lord has us growing in grace. We move. And if we try to put down stakes and say, well, this is where I want to stay, we get into trouble with the Lord. The Lord wants us to grow. He wants us to prosper. He doesn't want us to lose ground. We can't stay in the same place with God. Are you moving this morning? And if you are, with what current? There's only two. You can't go both. The current of the Lord is going this way, and the current of the world is taking you this way. And you can't stay in one place and just face this way and say, well, I'm going the way of the Lord. If you're going to go that way, let Him carry you where He wants to take you. And you can't go that way and that way. It gets personal, doesn't it? Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to go the way of the Lord? And we say, well, yeah, I'm willing. What are we doing? What are we laying down? Where are we growing? May God help us. It's a serious question that deserves serious consideration. The prophet in Lamentations, it said 3:40, it said, let us search and try our ways and what? Turn again to God. Do it daily. Don't do it just 20 years ago when you got saved. Today, Lord, help me to search. Help me to try. Lord, try me. Know me. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me into the way of life. But for that to work, we have to be willing to be led. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. A lot of people are willing, but then they're really not. Because they don't want to change. They don't want to be obedient. May God help us today to be willing. Jesus said, be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. How can we labor to be perfect if we don't give it our all? Do you feel the energy, the burden that I have? We can't be lackadaisical in our Christian experience and expect to be successful. We can't sit at home and try to figure out everything that we can do to cater to my flesh and still make it into heaven. It won't work. God is a God of grace. We're not going to get in because of our works. The Scripture clearly tells us it's not of works lest any man should boast. I can't do enough works to deserve getting into heaven. Won't work. Won't ever get in. And yet, why does the Bible say that by our works we shall be condemned and by our works we shall be justified? Why does it say that? Because we're not earning our way in. The Lord just sees the condition of our heart by our works. He knows to the extent that we want to serve Him by, are we willing to hold on to our armor and our weapons of the Lord while we do something that is in of itself okay? The Lord will help us do it if we want. We're going to have to take personal responsibility for this. I'd like to get a verse in Joshua.
Brother Rodney, in Luke 13th chapter, I believe it is 24th verse, pride will enter in at the straight gate. Many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able.
And not be able.
Strive.
Strive.
Everything you got.
Everything you have. Strive. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Joshua 1 and 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Things have changed. You used to have a place over here, and it was okay. You filled your place. But now something's changed. Moses is dead now. He's gone. Now your responsibility has changed. And he said, arise. It's your turn. I have something for you. And other people will benefit from it. Arise, he said, and go over this Jordan and all this people unto the land which I do give them. And he said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. The Lord was telling them, I have land for you to possess. Arise, go get it. It's yours. I'll help you be victorious. And he said, no one will be able to stand before you. All the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. We're not in this alone. We are following a captain that has never been defeated. And he will take us through successfully. He will see us through to the other side, guaranteed, if we'll follow. He said, be strong and of good courage. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Oh, the devil comes in and says, oh, don't get too close to the Lord. This sanctification thing, put that off for a while. That gets you into trouble. That'll destroy your teenage years. You won't be able to do what all that you want to do. He might ask you to put something aside. You don't be strong and of good courage. He's not asking you to empty yourself of yourself to leave you empty. He's saying, empty yourself so I can fill you with something better than what you had in the first place. Believe it. Be strong and of good courage. He said, unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. And he told him again. He was trying to remind him. He said, be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe, and catch what he says here, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Not a portion of it. You don't get to go this way and possess these lands on your own way, in your own way, and how you think it ought to be done, but do it according to the law that I already established. He said, don't turn from it to the right hand or towards the left hand. Have you ever heard people say, well, the way I see it. How does the Lord see it? That's right down the center. That's what I want to know. Lord, what do you want me to do? Don't turn to the left hand. Don't turn to the right hand. Observe to do all that's according to the law. And how do we do that? Do we just all of a sudden know on our own? Takes time. Takes energy. Takes desire. Do you want it bad enough? It's the only way we're going to get it. Brother Clifford Wilson used to say all the time, he used to say, Saint, we're only going to make it if we want it worse than anything else in life. We're not going to end up there on accident. He said, don't turn to the right hand or turn to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Oh, I want to know what it says. I want to know what it means to me. Lord, what must I do to be saved? Then thy way will be prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And how did he end it? Haven't I told you? Be strong. Be of good courage. You can do this. You can be successful. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He told this to Joshua. And you might think, and they did. They went and possessed many lands. And then time passed. And if you flip over to the 13th chapter of Joshua, he said, now Joshua, in the first verse, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. Oh, time had passed. Battles had been won. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. There's still land to be possessed. Thank the Lord. What land does the Lord have for you to possess today? Did you know that all of us, everybody in here this evening, you have land that God wants you to possess? There's land for all of us that He wants to possess. Are there areas of land perhaps that the Lord has talked to you about that maybe you really don't want to go there? Uncultivated areas that you're afraid to come face to face with God in that area. Rooms in your heart that right now you'd rather the Lord just not go in. The Lord wants to go in. You know why? Because He wants you to possess land. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to have victory. He wants you to be a success. He wants you to enjoy the victory that He has already won. I want to know something about that. A lot of times there's land that we just don't care for the Lord to tour around. It's around us. We don't want to go there. You know, I have been struck before. We're in Albany, where we're from. Every once in a while, they'd shut down the city streets and they'd put cars out there, old cars, to look at. And they'd open the doors of the cars would be sitting there, the trunks would be open, the hoods would be open, and the doors would be open so that you could see everything in the car. They wanted to show it off. They wanted to show that they paid attention to detail of these cars. And there have been a couple of cars that I've seen that were different than the others. They had mirrors on the ground right at the base of the cars. You know why? They wanted you to see the underside of the car too. Those other cars didn't have that. But these people, they paid attention to every area of their vehicle. They wanted to take care of every part of it. That was the part where the rubber meets the road. That's the part that not everybody sees. It's a part that's easy to hide. Most people in the car shows aren't going to get down on their hands and knees and crawl under your car. They walk by and they look at it and say, well, what a nice car. And you have no idea what the underside looks like. The Lord knows. Did you know that the Lord wants us to have just as much zeal as those folks do in taking care of every area of their car? We all have areas in our life that's our underside, if you will, where our rubber meets the road, where we live life. You don't see me Monday through Saturday. Most of you don't see me on Sunday. But other people do. The Lord does. You don't know what I do in my private time. It's my underside. It's the side that I live life. It's that side that's exposed to the dirt and the grime and the thing that can damage the underside. Am I taking care of it? Do I work to keep it clean? When I get hit with something, do I address it before it turns into a problem? The Lord wants us to be willing to open up everything. He wants us to be willing to pull out the mirrors, if you will, and say, Lord, look at this side of me. Lord, given this, what must I do to be saved? How often do we come to the Lord and say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? How often has the Lord said, arise, possess the land, I have something for you. I say, oh Lord, this is just not a good time. It's just a more convenient time. May God help us. We may miss out. We have no guarantees of tomorrow. Why would we risk? Why would we risk that? Why would we risk keeping those doors closed and not letting the Lord in to help us possess the land that He said, I'll give you victory. I will ensure your victory. You just need to open up. You need to confess. Forsake. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. Let's be willing to do that. The Scripture said, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. It said every weight and sin. Did you know that if you don't get rid of the sin business, you can't enter the race? You can't sin and enter the race. And you cannot win the race with weights. You'll lose the race. You got to quit the sin business. Hebrews said, let's go on to perfection. Y'all understand about resurrection of life and baptism and all those things are necessary. They're needful, but it's time to move on. It's time to arise. And it's time to say, Lord, what do you want of me today, now? Lord, I'm willing to go. Let's be willing to lay aside every weight. May we get past the point. Young people, I have such a burden for you. I have such a strong burden for you. The world is working so hard for your soul. And the devil is right there to tell you, well, you don't need to do that. Well, that's not necessary. Well, that's just old school stuff. They just haven't got to the new ages yet. It's a little simple-minded. We bear with them, but we understand. That's ignorance. We heard about that. Be willing to open your mind and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And Lord, even if I can't find a verse in Scripture that says, thou shalt not listen to this. Thou shalt not watch this. Thou shalt not. I say, Lord, is it a weight? Is it perhaps hindering me? Is it something that's keeping me from a closer walk with you? That's what the Lord's looking for. That's what He's looking for. That's the people He's coming back for. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Doesn't sound like a group of people that says, I'm a Christian and there's nothing that says I can't do this. That's not who the Lord's coming back for. The Lord is coming back for a people that says, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Amen. And that when the Lord says, arise, I have land for you to possess, we get up and we say, Lord, I want to go possess it by your strength and by your power. Is that who we are? What land would the Lord have you possess tonight? Are you fearful? Does the enemy have you in bondage with fear? Discouragement? Depression? You've got land. Arise. Or is it the world? Is the land that the Lord have you to have, is your affection centered on things below and not on things above? Oh, be willing tonight to say, Lord, what is it in my life that's keeping me from being part of the 300? Oh, Lord, what group would I fall into? If my parents go away, would I opt out? No, I love the Lord. I mean, I think it's the right way. Oh, okay. Well, then, are you willing to give up some of those things that maybe aren't in of themselves sin? For the glory of God? That's what we want to do. That's the chosen generation that the Lord's coming back for. The kingdom of God is preached, and every man just kind of walks into it, just wanders into it. The kingdom of God is preached, and people by accident. No, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Are you pressing? Are you pushing? Is it your all in all? Are you striving to enter in at the straight gate? I'm going to have to. If you want to make it. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You might fool me. You might be able to win a debate with your friend on why what you're doing is okay. God's not mocked. He's not going to be deceived. You're not going to stand up there and tell him why he was wrong. Truth has already been established. He said, don't go to the right or to the left. And do you know, he doesn't change that course as time passes. People say, well, that was back. No, we're not trying to follow what they did in the 1800s. We're not trying to follow what our grandparents did 50 years ago. We're attempting to follow the holiness standard that the Lord established himself. That's what we're following after. Are we doing that? Is that where your desire is? Is that where your zeal is? Or is it otherwise? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Do you remember Joshua's dying exhortation? Remember what he said? He urged them. He said, fear the Lord with all diligence. Give him your all. He's the one to serve. But he said, if you don't want to, if you won't, if you want to serve the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the flood, or if you want to serve the gods of the Amorites, is that who it was? If you want to serve the gods of the Amorites, okay. Nobody's going to stop you. But be it known this day, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to press. We're willing to be alone. We're willing to be counted as a dependable Christian. We're willing to sign up 100%. Let's be encouraged this morning to be led by the Spirit of God. Let us be active in our pursuit of holiness and righteousness. And if you're here this evening and you find that you're one of the group that would opt out, or you find that maybe you wouldn't be part of the 300, the Lord's ready to give you some land tonight. He's saying, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. I've won the battle. I'll help you through it. Exercise some faith. Or if you're here tonight and the devil's giving you a bad time, and you're afraid, you're fearful, he's badgering you, you don't have the joy of the Lord. The Lord says, arise. There is much land to possess that you have not possessed before. Times change, things change, circumstances change, and the Lord has additional land to give you if you're willing. Let's be willing. Pray for me that I'll be faithful. Amen.